Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's the newest spirit. Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Welcome, everyone, and good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to everyone. Thank you so much for listening. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. I'm your host, Rebecca L. Norrington, and let me tell you, we're coming to the finale of Five Obstacles to Happiness. And let me say this right off the bat. There are, because this is part three, there are a lot more obstacles than just 15 obstacles to happiness, but I wanted to key in on some of the behaviors, some of the programmed thoughts, behaviors that are just rampant. And when I say rampant, I mean they're just glaring. And we're going to get to that. But before I do, I want to explain to my new listeners, thank you, the new listeners, who the hell am I? Who is this Rebecca L. Norrington? The nerve of her, the gall of her thinking that she can teach anybody or talk to anybody or share what she's learned about happiness. You're right. When I was younger, I wanted two things. I wanted to live to my potential and I wanted to be happy. And when I say wanting to be happy, I'm talking about a burning, a yearning, a focus, a bees. It is all-consuming. And I'm sure anybody out there that has, when I say a gift or a talent or some kind of skill that you are really, really good at, it did not happen overnight. So what I share with you on this radio show, what I share with you on this show is what I learned. I'm giving you the answers to the test. What I learned works and what doesn't work. Not only works and doesn't work, but the truth about the behaviors, the truth about the journey, the truth about what subtracts from happiness. Now, raise your hand out there if you would like to be happier. Raise your hand out there if you would like to experience more peace and more contentment in your life. There are people who are satisfied with the roller coaster of angry, sad, happy, anger, are satisfied with the roller coaster of life. And I have to tell you that life is a roller coaster. You are going to feel great in one moment, and then you're going to feel like crap the next. But the trick is, the truth is, the key is, what I share on the show is there is a way to get through, to navigate through all of that while remaining peaceful. You can navigate through all of life, and I don't care what circumstance you're talking about, from illness to health to money issues, to relationship issues, challenges. I got a powder post beetle issue up in here in the forest, to navigate through all of that with a peaceful vibration. And happiness, this peace of mind, peace in mind, is a practiced skill. And all I do is share with you what to practice. This show, and I keep keep forgetting to say, but this show is really growing quicker than, and even, I don't even know how it's growing, but I get followers, new followers, people emailing me, sending me questions all over, I got to say, all over the world now. And I don't, what do they call that? Not grassroots, when it's organic. It's organically growing. And the reason, well, I don't know the reason for that, but when I say organically growing, there are so many people that are reaching out because they're finding that there's got to be more than just the daily routine, the being on the hamster wheel, the doing the same things all the time, and feeling, sometimes feeling great and sometimes not feeling so good. And so what I try to share is, not what I try to share, what I share is what brings you peace and what are the things that actually don't bring you peace. On this show, I share with you the real definition of happiness, and that is to be able to navigate through this life regardless of what happens and regardless of what doesn't happen, and how to remain peaceful, how to be happy, how to feel content, how to have a vibration of satisfaction. Why happiness is so important? I don't know. You tell me. What do you think? Let's ask anyone out there. I happen to think, and I'm biased here, I happen to think that it's the number one priority more than anything else. Because what happens when you have everything, when you have the money and you have the means and you have the contacts, but you're unhappy? Today's show is part three, the finale of Five Obstacles to Happiness. And let me really quickly review part one and part two very quickly. The first show, Five Obstacles to Happiness, living in the future or living in the past, having any expectations of anyone or any circumstance, blaming feelings on an event, blaming your feelings on a person or an event. Your feeling, your emotions are your responsibility. They have nothing to do with what anybody says or does. I mean, I know we were taught to blame other people. I know we were taught to tell somebody, oh, you hurt my feelings. I know we were taught to feel this offended, but it is not the truth. Blaming anyone or any event for how you're feeling. Thinking something is serious. That's another obstacle to happiness. Thinking that something needs to be different than what it is. Thinking that your reality or thinking that whatever you're experiencing needs to be different. It should be different. I don't feel good because it should be a different way. I'm here to tell you that's all, I'm sorry, bull crap. Part two, five other obstacles to happiness. Being rigid, that means not having the ability to change your mind, living by sets of rules, not being able to flow, not being able to let go, being rigid. Rigidity is an obstacle, and it is a cancer. If you are not able to change your mind and be open, there is no way that you are going to be able to find peace. Because this is a free-flowing universe, and everything changes in the universe. And if you don't have the ability and you don't want to change or you don't think that you need to change, which is okay, but I'm telling you, you are denying yourself more peace. The stories that are about why someone behaved in some way, why someone is doing something, why something is happening or not happening. The stories, all stories, subtract from your happiness? Being impatient. Oh, my goodness, that's a big one. Being impatient. You cannot be peaceful and impatient at the same time. And you look out into nature, and all you see is growth at a very, very, very slow pace. Expansion at a very, very slow pace. So this impatience is an obstacle to happiness. And let me tell you something. When you were a child, when you were a baby, you weren't impatient. I mean, unless you're hungry. But if you tell a baby they're going to have to wait 5 years to walk or talk or to learn how to feed themselves, it's not going to be a problem. See, the impatience, and I'm really going back, but the impatience is a learned behavior. And it's very, very challenging to let go of wanting something right now because I think something should be happening right now. But when you allow the universe and when you allow life to unfold in its time, you will feel another vibration of contentment. You will feel a vibration of peace, the vibration of satisfaction. You will drop your shoulders and say, okay, I can wait for this to unfold. You know what's really interesting? There are so many lessons and challenges that I have, that I have experienced. And why couldn't I have gotten that 20 years ago? Why couldn't I have gotten that lesson 10 years ago? Why couldn't I have been this peace, this content? Why am I 60 years old and it's just happening now? Well, it wasn't time to happen. Allow and trust that the universe's plan is unfolding with perfect timing. So those are the last two, part one and part two, obstacles to happiness. And today is the finale. Listen, I could go on and on and on about with obstacles, but today, and let me say, and you can call into the show at area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619. Shout out to my NYUNB. Just press the number one if you want to speak to me or if you want to add or have a question. Okay, here we are. Part three. This is something that really was difficult to practice, difficult to believe, but I have to say, it's the truth. And when I say the truth, I'm talking about a universal truth. I'm talking about an undisputed truth. And that is thinking that an experience or a person or a moment is responsible for how I feel. Let's go back to number two. In other words, there's going to be stories behind, this is happening, and so this is why I'm feeling this way. Challenged by the Powder Post Beatles in the house, and now I'm feeling anxious, and now I'm thinking that, no, I won't be able to, the cabinets have to be ripped out. All of these stories, as opposed to just relaxing and knowing that if something needs to happen, if I have to get cabinets taken out and cabinets put back in, cabinets removed and cabinets installed, that's just what's going to happen. And who the hell cares? Why am I allowing this story to make me feel good, make me feel bad, make me feel impatient, make me feel like there's something wrong? We were programmed to believe that circumstances, people, events make us feel a certain way. And I just have to say that it's just not true. I remember moving, to Oregon, and I'm surrounded by the forest, and I thought for sure that being surrounded by trees and the creek running, is going to make me feel more peaceful. And boy, oh boy, was I wrong. The peace always comes from within. The struggle is a struggle that is within. There is nothing outside of self. There is nothing outside of self that is causing me to feel good and or bad. That's a hard one to practice, and that's a hard one to understand. But it is the truth. Thinking that an experience or a person is responsible for how I'm feeling. Now, I have to say that 98% of the population believes that, and the belief is a false belief. That's right, I said it. Here we go. The second thing that in this part three that subtracts or is an obstacle to happiness is thinking that, and I'm sorry in advance to all you people who like to control, all you people that are controlling, all you people with your hands on the steering wheel, I'm not sorry, that thinking that you have control over anything subtracts from your happiness. The only thing, I'm going to say the only thing I have control over, and let me really think about this. The only thing I have control over is how I choose to respond, to react, how I choose to let go or hold on, how I choose to blame, how I choose to look at myself in the mirror. And you know what? As I'm saying all of this, I don't even know if I have control over that. I don't even know if I have control over that. How about this one? Do I have control over following my inspiration, following my intuition, or following what my ego, what my head tells me? Or is it just even a bigger plan? And I'm just living out my destiny. That's just the question. But having the illusion of thinking that I am making anything happen, I am making anything appear, I am creating anything. I know that's a hard one. But if I'm creating something, that's a hard one. I'm going to leave it at that because that control issue can be a whole topic for a whole show. But trying to control either yourself or someone else or a circumstance is subtracting, is an obstacle to your happiness. Here we go. This is a big one. Oh, hold on a second. We have a caller that wants to contribute. Well, hello. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. Is this Nathan?
Well, good. Yes, it is. And good morning.
And good morning to you, Nathan. And welcome to Reality Spirituality. I love when you call in. What are your thoughts?
I like to call in too. Well, I was just listening to your thoughts on what we have control over and what we don't, and then do we even have control over choosing our inspiration or choosing our ego? And then you said, "Oh, that we're not creating anything." But the word
right.
creating yeah, the word creating, I've heard thrown around, and because I like to sometimes I just think, well, what's the point of it all if we don't have control over our emotions, we don't have control over choices, and even our own happiness. So it's like, what are we even doing here? And one thing I listen to or I think about is one of our purposes is to create, is to make things, make inventions and make art and make buildings and just to create.
This is a good one.
There's part of me that feels that resonates with that, that makes sense, that I'm a creator, and that if I believe that the universe or this force beyond us and inside of us, its purpose is to create too, maybe. Or there's something that feels right about that. And I
right,
also, and
right,
just one,
right.
one more thing to tag on, I just heard this morning about continuing to create and how part of the journey isn't to create something and then just have it sit there and then look at it for the next 100 years or 200 years or 300 years. It's just to keep, it's like if I made a painting and it was really cool and I had fun making it and other people even liked it and they showed it. And then I just kind of stared at the painting for the rest of my life instead of just making a new one, creating a new painting.
You know, such great, great points. And that's one I love when you call in, because you stimulate, first of all, you stimulate me to find more answers. And I want to really focus on the thoughts. I'm talking about myself, the thoughts that I'm having. Is this a program thought? Is it a program thought that man creates? And let me just say this, because this is, and I want your input on this too. So the caveman, there were no airplanes, there were no trains, there were no cars, none of that stuff. They had no clue with electricity, lights on, lights off.
Mm-hmm.
But the tools, all of that was there. And let's just stick with electricity, because yeah, let me just stick with one thing: electricity. Electricity was here. I mean, electricity wasn't there just because the caveman didn't know how to get electricity.
Right, right.
It just wasn't found. It wasn't time to found it. In other words, why am I here? I'm here to expand and grow.
Mm.
Expand and grow. Now that creating, are the person that found electricity, did he create electricity? No, it was just a time in the evolution of mankind to discover electricity. Same thing with the airplane. So the creating is a tricky one, because creating is a man-made word. But
that's
expanding,
a really good,
in other words,
yeah. Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I like that a lot, because you're right with the electricity. It really wasn't created. It just feels like it was time to discover it, or not even discover, like it was lost. I mean, it was there. So even discover is not quite, doesn't feel quite right, but it's just, sometimes I think with really great songs that everyone knows that are just classics, it's like, mm-hmm. The person didn't write it out of thin air. It's almost as if the song was already made and the person just like channeled it or helped it come to be at that time?
You know, while you were talking, I mean, I've just been chilling up ever since you started talking, because that is exactly the point, is that things, and I don't know that the word is inspired to, or you're
right.
channeling, or you're using the inspiration that is coming to you for this thing to come out, like you said, a song, or electricity, or even a car. It is time. There is an inspiration. That's why when people are really following what they're inspired to do, things
mm-hmm.
will expand and things will grow and things will happen. That's why the inspiration, this is what I think, the inspiration is really, really valuable, because it's going to lead me to a lot of stuff, a lot of shit that I didn't even know was possible if I stay tuned into that intuition and inspiration and let go of all of the buzz and let go of the man-made, oh, it's time, or let go, I'm wasting time, let go, what am I doing, what am I accomplishing? None of that stuff, because I don't find any of that in nature. So it's just really honing in on, yes, my inspiration. What is my inspiration? And I look back on the inspiration and wow, that's what came out of that inspiration. So the words even have to be less descriptive. Creating, it's the words even have to be fewer. There are fewer words. Expanding,
fewer
growing.
Words.
Yeah, fewer words.
Yeah.
Even growing.
Fewer words. Yeah, fewer words.
Yes.
Because you said at the beginning, with all of our stories, and all those stories have so many words and explanations, and we have a reason, and we have that. Well, that this is because of this, and we're trying to explain this, and really,
yeah.
I think it can be really simple, but I do have a question or another springboard, because it feels really good. Okay, I feel like we're on the same page with following inspiration. So what is inspiration? For me, inspiration feels like easy. It feels like I'm like excitement. It feels like a moment-to-moment thing. This isn't something that I've been planning for years. Well, I'm going to be inspired next week to do this. Inspiration feels very present moment and very what's my next moment. Can you expand on that, on inspiration?
Yes.
And just to clarify for me and for anyone listening too, what's that word? The energy of
yes,
that.
Yes. Well, I interchange inspiration with intuition a lot, and because there's a few things, intuition and a lot, and there are a few people. I'm just going to give an example who tell stories that when plane crashes and something happens, that they said, you know, I had a feeling not to get on that plane, or, you know, I had a feeling something was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So there is something that is always there when you practice listening to that voice that guides you. But I was not taught to just listen to that voice. I was taught to use my head and try to figure it out. Anytime you feel like there is work and it is not easy, it is not – see, the key is the ease of it all. And then you said inspiration. What is inspiration? Well, I think inspiration is different in different moments. Sometimes the inspiration is so strong, just like the weather. It's so strong, it's going to knock trees over. It's going to crack the earth open. But sometimes the inspiration is very, very subtle and very, very soft. So it comes in different volumes, different ways, but it is always there, and there is a trust factor that happens. Am I doing this because I'm inspired, or am
right,
I doing this
right.
because my ego? So it really is a practice. And when I say practice, the more you practice listening to that, and sometimes the inspiration is, don't do anything for 5 days. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean don't do anything for 5 days? When I say don't do anything for 5 days, but be okay if a day goes by or 2 days go by and you're not inspired to do anything. So inspiration
or to do certain things.
Hmm?
Yeah. Or just to do certain things.
Yes, yes. Yes. Exactly. Inspiration doesn't mean what?
And then I just have another question because I've heard that a lot. Okay, listen to that little voice. What's that little voice? That little voice saying that whispers. And am I correct in saying that it doesn't even come in a voice? You know, sometimes because I would expect it to come like as a sentence, like some, you know, God is speaking to me, and I'm thinking, well, what is he saying? you know, I'm expecting
he's
you to
saying,
be like,
hey, he's
hey,
saying, F you.
He's saying, F you, go to someone else, next caller. And, you know, I'm expecting him to say, oh, hello, good morning, Nathan. Well, today, on today's agenda, I'd like you to visit this person at 1, and I'd like you to take this class at 2. And it's, you know, it's just not as maybe clear as I would like my inspiration to come. And you already said it. How do we know if it's inspiration or if it's something else? So how do I know it? Say if I take a move and I can feel that I might have been inspired, I'm not sure, and then I let it play out, is there a way that I can have a result? Or, oh, I did this, and then this happened, a little confirmation that I'm on the right track or that I'm getting the hang of this?
Well, the right track, you know what? I love your questions. Your questions, don't tell anybody, are my favorite questions. Sorry, everybody else. But not sorry.
Sorry to all the millions of listeners.
Yeah. Sorry to all you millions of listeners all over the world, especially you people up in Antarctica. Thank you.
Especially them.
Yeah, especially the Antarctica, and you Icelanders also, as Icelandics. So, the key for me, and I can only go back to me, is how does it feel easy?
Does it feel easy?
I mean, I look at all these animals out in the forest, and I see some of them scurrying up trees, and I see some of them looking for food, and then some of them are talking to each other. Does it feel easy?
Mm.
How easy is it? And see, I know that my ego will try to get in there and figure something out and try to trick me or make me confused or thinking that, what is this, but... there is a sense of ease. Wow, that was easy. You know, you talk about some of the things that you do, you know, whether you're writing or whether you're making videos. I'm saying, isn't making your videos easy?
You know, it is easy, and then sometimes it's not easy, and then I think when it's not easy might be a time for me to take a break. Or just renegotiate. Yeah, it's just sometimes if I feel like, okay, say I'm making a video for a day and I want to do it by a certain time, there is that thought, well, I don't know if this is going to be easy or not, but I want to, it's like a deadline. And deadlines exist in our human, world, you know, with times and then making appointments and, okay, this reality, spirituality, it's on Sunday at this time. So there is something about the human, you know, agreements that we have that it's going to be this by a certain time. And then it's not, sometimes it's not easy. And then I've heard people say, well, sometimes you got to just do it anyway, even if you don't feel, okay, let me, this is my point right here. And I've done this week where I've chosen to do certain things that I wouldn't even necessarily choose. If it was up to me, like I went out on Friday night to this Tony party, and if it was up to me, I would have been at home taking a nap. It was actually not the easy choice, but I could feel something, inspiration underneath it. And we talked about emotions. Can we even choose our emotions? There was a little bit of uncomfortableness in going out when I really just wanted to take a nap. But my inspiration led me there.
Yes, your inspiration.
Even though it was a little uncomfortable is what I'm saying. But
yeah.
It turned out to be, yeah.
Well, your inspiration, see, that's the thing, your instinct. You know, I like instinct, too. I like that word, too.
Instinct, yeah.
I like that word, too, instinct. So I was instinctually, you landed up there because you overruled that other thing that said, no, do, you know, sit around. But see, the thing is, okay, So... Go ahead.
I just said I really like the word easy. It's you know, you talked about even Roseburg and some things just not being, when you say I didn't choose this, it's like you just went with your intuition, and inspiration or intuition, I think it feels, man, it can feel uncomfortable sometimes, or the human part of me is uncomfortable, but maybe the part underneath it, the I underneath the human, is really not uncomfortable.
Exactly.
But the human side of me, yeah.
You just summed it up. You just summed it up. And so... It is a skill at getting to know which is which
mm-hmm.
voice, like you said, or which way are you leaning towards? Which way and practicing trusting this guided, you know, we talk about guided meditation, this guided journey.
Mm-hmm.
This journey is guided. And so, you know what? Guide me. And if there, when I get stuck, I ask the universe, God, just guide me. How can I feel peaceful? Just always ask for help and always know that there is assistance, and you are being guided. You are being guided in all moments, and regardless of, say you take a nap. Okay, here we go. This is it. The final thing. This is it. I'm not final, but so you went to this event, and then you said your other choice was felt like staying home and taking a nap. Well, guess what?
What?
Hello?
What?
Whatever happened was perfect.
Yeah, I figured you were going to say that.
Mm-hmm.
And then my last thing before I have to carry on with class,
okay,
is that this week I've been making lists, and I do things that I want to accomplish that Nathan can do, like dishes, trash, doing those things I put on one side, and then other side I just put a list for the universe. If I feel like either I can't do it right now, or I just want the universe to take care of it, and I don't really know how it's going to get done, I just write it on the other side.
Oh.
And it works pretty good.
Wow, I like that.
Sometimes at the end of the day, I'll look and I'll see, you know, a lot, if not all, or some, or mostly most or all, things on the right side, the universe side, got done.
Wow.
I'll like write feeling things down or feeling, yeah, just things I want the universe to take care of. And sometimes I don't even check, but I think what helps me know that I'm listening to inspiration and intuition is things like that. If I wrote it down and then I can see that it's happening. Just a little confirmation.
A little confirmation which adds to your trust level. And so the more confirmations you have, the more trust level you'll have.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank
you
for having me on the show today.
Well, thank you for calling in, darling. And, darling, I will be chatting with you whenever we chat, darling. And thank you for being you, darling. No, really, thank you for contributing. I love you, Nathan. Thank you.
I love you, too.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
I love it when that young man calls in. I love it when that young man calls in because, listen, we are all in the same boat, this boat called life, and how to feel more at ease, more free, more open, more flowy. That's all we're trying to do here on Reality Spirituality, folks. I don't know where I left off with the number three. Let me see, number three. Being in someone else's business, noticing what somebody else is doing. I'm telling you, this is a epidemic. People in someone else's business, knowing what someone else is doing, making a judgment about it, making that they're wrong, finding fault with anybody else, finding fault with anyone else, or giving them a description. You know, oh, they're A, B, C. Oh, they're drunk. Oh, they are inconsiderate. Oh, they are angry. Oh, they are who? Listen, I used to label people. I knew exactly what was wrong with every other person out there. And guess what? I was wrong. Because making a judgment about a person or making a judgment about an event will subtract is an obstacle to your happiness. I'm letting you know that. It is very difficult for people to stay out of other people's business. Because then what does that mean? That means they're going to have to scurry to the mirror and look at themselves. And who wants to do that? Who wants to look in the mirror? Or it's easier, and it sure is makes me feel better, to look at out there and find fault with what's out there. I'm telling you, staying out of everyone else's business, minding your own business, no comment on anybody's business, no judgment on anybody's business. Let the universe unfold and let these people go. But your ego doesn't want you to stay out of other people's business, let me just say. Number four, and this is an interesting one. It doesn't really get talked about, but getting embarrassed. How many of you out there are embarrassed or get embarrassed by anything that happens or something that happens? I'm embarrassed. Well, the only reason why you are embarrassed, the only reason why you get embarrassed is because you care about what someone else thinks. You care about what someone else thinks about you. And you are subtracting from your happiness when you care about what other people think. I had such a, I have friends visiting, and I used to care, have this image of caring about how people saw me and how people viewed me and what they thought about me. And I got to say right now, fuck that. I could care less what you think about me. I care what the universe thinks about me. But I could care less what anybody thinks about me. Because what I think about me is all that matters. What I think about me, and what I asked the universe, I said, let me think about me. Let me view myself. Let me value myself. Let me, all of that, just the way the universe looks at me. The universe is okay with everything I do and everything I say and everything I'm going to do and everything I'm going to say and everything I've done. And that's the interesting part. The universe is okay with whatever I do, however I say it, who I am in every moment. The universe does not find fault. And the last but not least obstacle to happiness is needing to be right, thinking that your way is the best way. Now, some of you say, well, wait a minute, Rebecca, wait a minute. Aren't you saying that what your way is the right way? What I'm saying right now is the things that I list, obstacles to happiness, are obstacles to happiness, whether you want to believe it, whether you want to accept it, whether you want to practice it or not. Obstacles to happiness, it's the same as the laws of the universe. There is a law of gravity. There are no laws of gravity. I'm telling you right now, what subtracts from your peace and what subtracts from your happiness, everything I listed earlier. And before I sign off, because this is going to be, I'm just going to throw more things that subtract from happiness and more obstacles. I'm going to repeat a few of them only because this is a long list, but blaming anyone or anything for the way you feel, comparing yourself to others, noticing what anybody is doing, talking about what anybody else is doing, thinking anything is serious, thinking anything is important, wanting some, oh, here we go, this is a big one, damn it, I should have put that on the list too, scratch off that word should, wanting someone else to think what you think is important. You wanting someone else to think what you think is important, sharing bad news, having expectations, giving powers to words, attachments, living in the past, living in the future, all judgment. Having preferences, resisting what is, trying to control anything outside of yourself, complaining, getting embarrassed, taking anything personally, worrying, assigning a label to any experience, being critical of yourself or others, resisting the moment, needing to be right, lack of growth, impatience, rushing. So in a nutshell, I want to thank you for listening to Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, and this small chapter of Five Obstacles to Happiness. Five obstacles. No, now there are 15 obstacles because I said 5, 5, 5. We did part three. I am available for weekend seminars, retreats, talks, speeches all over the world and or in the U.S. Contact me at info@RebeccaNorrington.com. Share with people that you like and or share with whoever you like the show Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, because it is growing faster than I can even imagine, growing, expanding. And Reality Spirituality is heard every Sunday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. My website is RebeccaNorrington.com. Follow me on Twitter at RL Norrington. My Instagram handle is Reality Spirituality. You can go on YouTube. I have a few YouTube videos soon to be added, more. Reality Spirituality is also heard not only on Blog Talk Radio, but is also heard on TuneIn, and is also heard on iHeartRadio. Woohoo! Thanks to my friend Robert Sharp. My first book, Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, can be purchased on Amazon.com. And my second book, the one I'm writing now that everybody's going to be upset about, is called Program for Unhappiness. That's where I share where you can't get your feelings hurt, you can't be offended, you know, words are not powerful. All of the debunking, all of the common, what the majority of the people believe. Yes, words are powerful. No, they're not. Yeah, I'm not going to have a lot, well, friends. Until next week, my dear audience, I want you to remember who you are. You are a physical extension of the universe. You're always evolving and you're always changing. You're always growing. Love is patience and love is kind. Be patient and be kind to yourself. Be your own best friend. Remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. It is about the journey. I'll talk to you next week on Reality Spirituality. Thank you so much for listening.
Yeah. Oh, it's time to get real. Oh.